on HUR Voices, SiriusXM
Radio.
Javon Harley. Visit our website. It's thetravelingeye.com. There you can friend and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and don't forget to join the Travel Club. Today is all hot topics. What's going on in the world of travel? What are people talking about? And what travel news is at the top of the list? And are you popping your ears all wrong? We're going to tell you how to do it the right way. Up first, travel news. U.S. airlines are giving back to communities, and they want you to know about it. Airlines for America, the industry trade organization for the leading U.S. airlines, they have launched a new website to highlight the community service and social good that its members and their employees participate in throughout the year. The website is airlines.org. From there, search for Airlines Give Back. They share stories of Airlines for America member airlines who are making an impact through supporting veteran and military families programs, providing educational opportunities, and fantasy flights for children who are in need. They work with communities building programs like Kaboom and Habitat for Humanity. They're also fundraising and raising awareness for medical research to help find cures for cancer and childhood diseases. The president and CEO of Airlines for America, Nicholas Calio, says that airline employees have volunteered millions of hours working with community service programs. They've donated more than 55,000 flights to wounded family members and their families. They've delivered 13 million pounds of supplies for relief efforts around the world and have built hundreds of homes and playgrounds across the country. And that this is the heart of the airline industry. Check out the website again. It's airlines.org. Boeing has a brand new airliner, and it's called the 737 MAX. Last year, Boeing rolled out the first completed 737 MAX and the company's next-generation single-aisle plane. Boeing 737 started in 1967, and then it was said to have helped revolutionize short- to medium-range air travel. Upon its debut, the original 737 was dubbed the Baby Boeing. In the late 70s, Boeing developed another generation of 737 jets called Classic Series. They offered more range and seating capacity. In addition, the Classic Series was offered with the new turbofan engines. They provided a greatly improved fuel economy and power. Well, they're at it again, the 737 MAX. It will compete with the Airbus new A320neo. And to create the MAX, Boeing made significant changes to the existing 737. They claim that the 737 MAX's new wingtips reduce fuel consumption by 1.8%. That's compared to the current generation's wings. The new jet will come with 1B engines. Boeing also redesigned the fuselage and the wings of the jet to reduce weight and optimization. Now, altogether, the company says the new jet is 20% more fuel efficient than the current 737 in service, and it's 8% cheaper per seat to operate than the rival A320neo that Airbus has. Up front, the MAX features a full-glass cockpit and the latest avionics. Planes pulling passengers duty will feature Boeing's Sky Interior. The Boeing 737 MAX series will range from the smaller 149-seat MAX 7 to the 220-seat MAX 8. American Airlines partners with Uber, that's right, American Airlines, and the ride-sharing service Uber announced a partnership last week, and this is intended to streamline the experience of getting to and from the airport using both Uber and American. After booking a trip, travelers can click on the Remind Me to Uber. This is a button that's on the American Airlines website, and on the receipt, you get a reminder for your ride. In addition to the integration, American is offering executive platinum members of its Advantage Frequent Flyer program a $25 single use coupon, and holders of Barclaycard Advantage Aviator credit cards will get 2 extra miles per dollar spent on Uber through July 2016. The airline plans to integrate certain Uber functionality with its smartphone app that will guide travelers to the nearest Uber pickup location at 11 airports. A strike may be on the horizon with United Airlines. The Teamster mechanics voted overwhelmingly recently to reject United Airlines' final offer and authorize a strike. There are over 9,000 mechanics in the bargaining unit, and over 93% of the mechanics who voted and cast their ballots against the company's offer. They voted strongly against this substandard agreement and have petitioned for a strike. So let's hope they get it together over there and that United Airlines won't be striking, but we will see. How about Cook My Catch? Well, that's what Princess Cruises is debuting, exclusive culinary experience. Princess Cruises announced recently the launch of Cook My Catch, an exclusive culinary experience offering guests the ability to enjoy their very own catch of the day while on vacation in Alaska. The unique dining experience is available on Princess Cruise Vacations during ports of call in Juneau and Ketchikan. Expedia is rolling out a hotel search bidding tool, but this is for the hotels, not for the consumer. Expedia has been trialing a new hotel search method, which could dramatically change how hotels are marketing through online travel agencies. So this is something that you definitely want to be aware of, and making sure that when you are searching Expedia or any online agency for that matter, that you know exactly what you're looking for, what you're getting, and how the ratings are. This is a program that's being tested, and it's called the Accelerator. This allows hotels to bid against each other for higher placement in the searches. So you want to make sure that you use a filter or a sort when you're searching on these websites so that you can look for maybe higher ranked rather than hotels who have outbid other hotels to be at the top of the list in your searches. The long-anticipated Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. is set to open this spring. That's right, the infamous Watergate Hotel. It's been under renovation for a few years now, and it has been a long-anticipated opening. So this spring, March 2016, maybe later, they will reopen after a $125 million overhaul. Now, the Watergate Hotel is situated at the Kennedy Center, or near next to the Kennedy Center. It'll have 336 guest rooms, expansive terraces that overlook the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., and along with a rooftop bar where the D.C. power elite will mix and mingle. One of the hotel highlights will be the next whiskey bar. So that's something that you definitely want to check out. Hilton launches discounts for loyalty members. And on this past week, Hilton Worldwide announced that Hilton Honors members can receive an exclusive discount on room rates by booking directly through its brand website. Hilton Honors mobile app is also offering it, as well as their reservation call centers or through preferred corporate travel partners. One reason is that they are stating last year 57 billion Hilton Honor points, or more than 1.6 free nights, went unearned because guests were booking their stay through a third party. We're talking about online agencies. This program is called Stop Clicking Around. And again, it's a marketing campaign to get you to book directly through Hilton Honor, through the Hilton website, and also so that you get to earn your points. Because a lot of times when you're booking on online agencies or other third parties, you get great discounts, but you're not earning points. So you have to kind of weigh those options, which one actually saves you more. That's something that you have to decide. Marriott Hotels rolling out a new brand. Actually, the brand has been around in Europe, and they're just bringing it to the United States. It's called the Moxie Hotels. They're going to debut in the United States this spring. These are more like boutique hotels, what they're calling the next generation traveler. It's going to be more fun-spirited and stylish and have more social areas. That's really what the millennials and the next-gen guests are really looking for. 24/7 self-service grab-and-go, ample plug-ins for personal devices, free and fast Wi-Fi. Actually, they say furiously fast Wi-Fi connection. So everything is really geared more toward the next gen and the millennials. That's Moxie Hotels. The first hotels are going to debut in New Orleans and in Tempe, Arizona. Wynn Las Vegas has also announced plans, this time for a new luxury retail development. They announced the development of Wynn Plaza, an expansive retail complex that's featuring 75,518 square feet of luxury retail space. It's going to debut fall of 2017. Basically, CEO of Wynn Resort said they had 300 or more feet on the strip, right on the sidewalk, and it was unused real estate, so they're going to make good use of that. The style of it is based on the legendary Avenue Matignon on the right bank of Paris. That's one of the streets intersecting around one of the famous circles in Paris that connects to the Champs-Élysées. Very elegant and sophisticated. How about a bonehead award? How about a stupidity award? Well, that's what we give to a group of tourists, the entire group. A group of tourists in Argentina on a beach discovered a baby dolphin swimming. In an effort to get selfies and pictures with the dolphin, they took the baby dolphin out of the water, surrounded it, and everyone started taking selfies with the dolphin. A dolphin has a thick layer of fat underneath its skin, and it needs to be hydrated all the time. Well, they left the baby out of the water so long that it dehydrated and eventually died. This is such a shame. I don't even know what to say. This was the Franciscana baby dolphin, and there's only about 30,000 left in the world. But regardless of, I'm almost at a loss for words here, it's a vulnerable species, regardless of the numbers. This is just not something you do. Why? I just cannot understand the thinking of this, other than this selfish, I want to take a picture. And the video and photographs of it online are very, very disturbing. Now for the piece de resistance. I have to tell you, I'm so excited about this. The United States and Cuba have signed an agreement allowing up to 110 commercial flights a day. That's right. We've been talking about the relaxed rules of Cuba and the United States. We know that last year they restored diplomatic relations. This is yet another step further to legal travel to Cuba, between the United States and Cuba. It is still illegal to travel to Cuba unless you are traveling under one of the 12 categories for approved travel. So it hasn't changed that, but certainly the major airlines, more specifically JetBlue, United Airlines, have all communicated, and American Airlines, that they are extremely happy about this. And a lot of them have been kind of gearing up or putting themselves in a position so that when they get the green light, they will be in the position to do it. This will mean 110 daily flights between the countries, including 20 daily flights to Havana. So again, it will make it a lot easier for you to get there. Right now, you can only fly there directly from the United States to Cuba via charter, or you have to go through another country in order to get on a scheduled flight on a non-U.S. carrier. They're speculating that we may be seeing some of these commercial flights as early as fall of 2017. Well, that's it for your travel news. When we come back, we're going to have Javon's Travel Minute. We have some hot topics. And we're going to talk with special guest Yolanda Como, who is a registered nurse, and we're going to talk about the Zika virus. So make sure you stay tuned. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices Sirius XM, Channel 141. Hi, this is Javon Harley, your travel pro and the host of The Traveling Eye, with a countdown to Ghana. Ghana is a great place to start in Africa, known as Africa for Beginners. Ghana is a great destination for getting acquainted with this diverse continent. And here are several reasons why. Ghana has friendly people, traditional Ghanaian hospitality, culture, history, sea, sun, and sand. But the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me, the Traveling Eye, and Advantage International to Ghana to see it all firsthand. So block off September and stay tuned for the complete package with all the details coming soon. Welcome back to the Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm your host, Javon Harley. Don't forget to visit the website. It's thetravelingeye.com. There you can find all sorts of things like the Traveling Eye blog, travel tips, and you can join the travel club.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
Canceling a reservation is sometimes necessary, but can you get a refund? And if so, how? First, you should review the terms and conditions of your purchase before you put down a deposit. While some portions of a trip or reservation may be refundable, some deposits are non-refundable. If your deposit or other portions of the reservation funds are refundable, make sure you know the cancel-by dates and put them in your calendar. Once you cancel, ask for a confirmation of the cancellation in writing and/or a cancellation number. You may need this for future reference and to track your cancellation. If you don't receive either, write down the date you canceled and the name of the person you canceled with. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. Chatting with me today is registered nurse, seasoned traveler, and a Traveling Eye Travel Club member, Yolanda Como. Hello, Yolanda, and welcome to the Traveling Eye.
Hello, Javon. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Oh, absolutely. Now, as I said before, Yolanda is a seasoned traveler and a Traveling Eye Travel Club member. How long have you been traveling with us?
Well, we figured it out. About 16 years.
About 16
but
years.
I think I've probably gone on probably maybe 12, 13 trips.
Yeah, maybe more.
Maybe more. It might be more.
I think more than that.
I think I'm thinking more of the abroad.
Okay. Yeah, most of the trips are international. I think we've only had one or two that have been domestic. And so Yolanda has traveled with me to many places around the globe. Yeah, well, let's get into some hot topics. One at the top of the list is the Zika virus. Exactly what is the Zika virus?
The Zika virus is a disease that is transferred to individuals through a mosquito bite. It's an invasive mosquito. They're saying it's like a black and white striped mosquito in various areas such as the Caribbean, Central America, and South America.
Is that the only way that it can be contracted by a mosquito bite?
New information is coming out now that they're finding that it's transmitted through sexual contact.
Now, Later on, I'm going to talk about what you should know as far as being a traveler and what the travel industry is saying about it and if what you can actually do if you're traveling to those destinations, if you have traveled to those destinations. But what should you do if you contract it? How would you know?
Well, it's difficult to know. They're saying it is pretty difficult to diagnose, but one out of five individuals who are contracted, one person would have symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms would consist of anything such as flu-like virus. Some would have muscle aches, headaches, conjunctivitis, which is red eye, some drainage from the eye. It's a lot of itching of the eye. But the other four people, individuals in that group, they may not even experience any symptoms at all. So they don't even know they're carrying the virus. But there is a test to determine if you are infected, but there's no cure, nor if there's a treatment at all for the virus.
Now, what is the biggest concern so far with the Zika virus?
The absolute biggest concern right now is it's infecting pregnant women or women who are becoming pregnant. These women are having babies who are having birth defects. And the birth defect is a disorder called encephalopathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a term describing the babies are having smaller heads, abnormally small heads.
So underdeveloped.
Underdeveloped. They're not developing properly either. I've seen pictures, some babies, 18-month toddlers, and they can barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's affecting them overall, but the major obvious sign is a small head on the baby.
And they're saying that this is something that is being carried by the mother during pregnancy or before pregnancy, or how are they actually determining this?
Well, if the virus is in the mother's bloodstream before she became pregnant,
mm-hmm.
the mother probably this virus will have some effect on that pregnancy of that fetus.
Now, I asked some of my followers on social media as well as the traveling eye audience, and some questions that had come in, mainly because spring break is coming up, and you have a lot of young ladies who are signing up for spring break trips, or a lot of people, actually. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those trips are going to the Caribbean, to Mexico. What do they need to be concerned with, or do they need to be concerned? Should they cancel their trip, or can they still go?
Well, the CDC, if you go onto the site, they're just outright telling young women, if you are traveling or making plans to travel in those areas and you're pregnant or becoming pregnant or thinking about conceiving, they're outright telling them not to travel in those regions.
I'm not going to tell you my age. Well, you probably know if you've been following me. So someone of my age.
So
let's say I'm considering travel. Would there be a concern for me traveling?
For you at your age, I would say no.
Okay,
you're not at childbearing age. That's number one. But you do need to take precautions in terms of protecting yourself. You don't want to get sick.
Right.
I mean, even if you aren't at a state where you want to get pregnant or anything, or you can't conceive, if you were to be bitten and infected by this, you may be the one out of five people you have these flu-like symptoms. So they really, I went on some sites to read about the information, and it's changing daily. It's evolving. There's so much information out there because they're learning as they go. The CDC, all the health facilities, the WHO, the World Health Organization, they're just popping up, information as they get it. So we don't know. We don't have all the information about this virus. But the main information about it that's alarming to the public, and it should be an alarming to the public, is because, who wants a child, a sick child?
Absolutely.
And right now in Colombia, they're saying they know of 5,000 women who are pregnant and infected with this virus. So they're holding their breath, once these babies are born, to see if all these children will be affected with this disease.
Oh, you certainly want to take precaution. And so I want to tell you a little bit about how the travel industry is reacting to it. Of course, whenever there's an issue, the travel industry has to be up to date with what's going on, and they have to follow it and work with the traveling public on any concerns that they have. Now, fear of travel is not a reason for cancellation when you have something that's already booked. So that's something that you want to make sure that you're aware of. One, you want to contact the travel supplier that you've made your travel arrangements through and see what their policy is, if they've made any policy changes. And when I've looked through some of the major travel suppliers, like the cruise lines, for example, because a lot of the cruise lines go to the Caribbean, and we're talking about over 26 countries that are on the list between South America, Central America, and the Caribbean. And so right now they haven't made any overall policy changes. What I have seen consistently across the board is that they are making exceptions for women who are pregnant.
Well, that's good. I mean, that means everyone is really concerned and want to fulfill whatever needs, just to let them know, we're concerned that you travel in this region, and if you choose to not travel, we will reimburse you.
Exactly. And I got another question from one of my followers is about traveler's insurance, that if they purchase traveler's insurance and they decide to go because they are afraid of the Zika virus. Once again, even the traveler's insurance or the travel insurance companies are saying that fear of a destination or fear of an issue is not a reason for cancellation. However, if you have traveler's insurance and you find out that you're pregnant, that is a reason for concern. So pregnancy, again, even with traveler's insurance, is one that separates from everyone else,
right,
as far as the cancellation for that. You also want to make sure that you go to cdc.gov to make sure that you're getting up-to-date information. And as Yolanda stated earlier, the information is changing constantly because there are a lot of questions that are unanswered. Exactly. And so right now they're just updating you as they're getting information, as they're able to find more information. They're monitoring certain situations in Brazil, in Central America, in South America, and any of these 26 countries to follow along. The other thing that you want to do if you're traveling to a destination is to make sure you protect yourself against mosquitoes as much as you possibly can. What are some of the ways that you can protect yourself against mosquitoes?
You need to cover up. That's a term, two-word term. Cover up, cover up, cover up. If you are going to travel in these areas, that means long sleeves, pants, socks, mosquito nets for the bedding, screens and windows, air conditioning facilities that you're staying at. Those would ward off mosquitoes, dangerous mosquito bites.
And there's different types of travel that you can sign up for. If you're going to the Caribbean, chances are you're going to be in fully air-conditioned resorts. But certainly if you're going to some more tropical environments and staying in maybe some more authentic or open places, or if you're going to Central America, for example, and you're doing some hiking, or you're going to go into the tropical forest, you want to make sure
definitely
that you're covering yourself with long pants, long sleeves, socks, even boots if you're doing any kind of hiking or anything like that. There's also a type of clothing, I understand, that you can use that's pre-treated. What is that called?
Is it Periton?
Permethrin.
Permethrin.
And that has that's an extra layer of protection that you can have in your clothing with you. The other thing is after travel. Now, this is very important because now we've found that it can be sexually transmitted.
Yes. And they have a case here in the United States. I think it's in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
A guy traveled to one of the regions that we just spoke of, and he came back. You know, he's infected with the virus, and he's sexually active with his partner, and now she has the Zika virus.
Right. So you definitely want to make sure that you are taking precaution. You're having safe sex, or you're either abstaining, especially if your partner has been to any of these areas where there's a possibility. Because as Shalonda stated earlier, 1 in 5 don't show symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be that this person is not showing any symptoms. So you want to definitely make sure that you're protecting yourself, especially if you or your partner are pregnant.
Yes.
You want to make sure that you take that precaution. And so if you come back from one of the destinations, if you have any of those kind of symptoms, or even if you're just coming back, between 2 to 12 weeks is what I'm reading here on CDC.gov, you want to visit your doctor. You want to get tested to make sure that you're not carrying the virus.
And even if you are planning a trip, you should see your doctor to
yes.
see if that's a good idea for you to
yeah.
make this trip.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Yolanda, for that information. Well, let's talk about some of these other hot topics. IATA, the International Air Transport Association, has released the 2015 Safety Performance Report, and 2015 was a good year. If you're looking at safety by the numbers for 2015, more than 3.5 billion people flew safely on 37.6 million flights.
Wow.
And now they had 31.4 million by turboprop. They had 136 fatalities. That's compared to 641 fatalities in 2014.
That's really good.
And if you compare it to a five-year average of 504 fatalities, they have what they call a six-point safety strategy. This strategy is what they use. It's very data-driven, and it's an approach to identify organizational, operational, and emerging safety operational risk like loss of control in flight, runway events, and controlled flight into terrain. They also look at the quality and compliance through audit programs, advocating for improved aviation infrastructure, supporting consistent implication of safety management systems, supporting effective recruitment and training to enhance quality and compliance, and also identifying and addressing emerging safety issues. That's what they call the six-point safety strategy. Another thing, you're going to start to see some changes in the passport. Mm-hmm. The passport's going to get a new look. They're adding more tamper-proof features to it, and so that they can reduce the amount of fraud. Passports, lost and stolen passports are obviously or can be a problem. And technology today, you just have to be so concerned for every issue there is out there. There's something else you have to be worried about. But one of the big changes is that you can no longer get additional pages added to your passport. Now, for some people, you may be thinking, do I really need extra pages?
You definitely need extra pages.
Yeah, I do travel a lot. I travel for my business, and there are a lot of people who travel for work, even those who aren't providing travel services. Some people travel for their job internationally, and they need a lot of pages. Standard issue is 28 pages. And these are the visa pages that I'm talking about. Those are the blank pages that are available for a stamp every time you enter and exit a country. And a lot of countries now require that you have two completely blank visa pages in order to enter their country. And then that's for the entry and exit visas. And that's why it's very important. So if you do travel a lot, you want to make sure that you have enough visa pages available when you go to travel, because you can be denied a visa if you don't have the appropriate number of pages available for you. The other issue that you can get is the double pages. You can get a 52-page passport. Now, it used to be, and I've had this happen before when I've had a year that I traveled a lot, is I could send my passport back in and have pages added. Mm-hmm. Well, they no longer allow that. That ended December 31st, 2015.
Why do you think they changed it? Where you can't get any added pages.
Well, they say it's another step toward safety and security. It's another step toward making the passports more tamper-proof.
I have a question. This might be a little trivial. I just renewed my passport. I got it back in reasonable time, a couple of weeks. And this is the third renewal. But I only renewed because my passports have been expiring. But I've had plenty of pages. Why didn't they continue with my previous pass, you know, my book, instead of, you know, Xing out the, destroying the entire book? They sent it back to me with holes punched through it. But, you know, you want to keep, I would like to keep it as, you know, showing that I look at it every now and then that I travel here, I travel there. Why do I have to start out with new pages?
Right. Well, you do get a chance to keep your passport. So when you apply for a new passport, they do send you your old one back. And as you said, they do punch it with holes so that you can no longer use it. Because I think it would be too labor intensive to try and keep that passport. Plus, let's say if you are 1 year from it expiring, then you're going to need extra pages. So rather than saying, we're going to pick you up where you left off, you're still not getting your full issue of pages. So that means that you're more likely to run out of pages the second time.
And this is my other question. This might be another trivia question. Why don't, when they're stamping your passport in and out of the country, why aren't they keeping it in order, the pages? Like if they turn the page, why do they go all the way to the back and stamp your page and you have all these other pages in between with no stamps?
That's an individual choice. It makes me crazy too. It's an individual choice by the agent who's processing you at that time. It's whether or not they want to take the time to look through to see where that stamp is. Because a visa page, it used to have four squares to it. It used to be sectioned with four squares, a line through it.
Right, right.
They don't have that line on there anymore. It's just the page, so you can, that one page can have multiple stamps.
Okay.
Although some visas have a big stamp that may take up the entire page. I have asked the same question. Why don't they put it in the same place?
Right.
It is up to the processing agent at that time. And sometimes I think it's just too time-consuming for them to look through all of your pages to figure out where that last stamp was and then to stamp it. I have had some do that, though.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But talking about these additional pages, they went through a lot to determine why to make this change. And they're saying that the average user uses 18 Visa pages. They did research in 2012, 2013, and based on the people who have traveled and how many pages they've used, 97% of all passport renewals used fewer than 18 Visa pages.
Within the 10 years.
And here's another thing, and we talked about this again, but we talked about this last week. I want to talk about it again because 2016 and 2017 are expected to be high passport issue years, because 2006 is when they changed the policy of the Caribbean and U.S. citizens having to have a passport to travel to the Caribbean. And you had a lot of people getting passports then, and now that 10 years is up. So 2006 and 2007. Okay. Actually, 2007 had more passport issues than 2006. So you're looking at 2016 and 2017 as high renewal years. Yeah. Something else that's happening with passports, there's a company that's come up with an app that you can take a selfie for your own passport photo.
Right. Technology.
It's called It's Easy is the name of the company, and their selfie passport photo app allows you to take your own selfie, and, of course, it doesn't come without requirements. The requirement hasn't changed. Okay. Your passport photo has to have certain requirements. It has to be 2 inches by 2 inches. It has to be behind against a white wall or a solid color wall.
Yeah.
It also has to be frontal. No side or profile or
no smiling.
No broad smiles or sunglasses or no Kim Kardashian selfie photos. It still would make it a lot easier that you can do that yourself and not have to pay the extra, because some of these places charge quite a bit to get these passport size photos. Yeah, it can certainly get expensive. And you know what? Congress is paying attention, and they have, in the last week, proposed some ideas to improve your travel experience. The first is that the Secretary of Transportation create a rule that requires airlines to refund any baggage fees charged to passengers if luggage isn't delivered within 24 hours.
Yay.
Yeah, and that's beginning at the time of the flight arrival. Currently, airlines only have to come up with lost bag fees, or they only have to give you comfort items. But now they're talking about having to refund your baggage fee. Why would you not get a refund of a baggage fee? If you didn't deliver my product, why am I paying you for service?
Exactly.
You want to set yourself apart and start charging for those kinds of things, then I think that should be an arguable element.
Right.
The other thing that they're doing is they're proposing a new law called Stop Online Booking Scams. This particular act would require all third-party hotel booking websites to disclose that they are not affiliated with the hotel that you're making a reservation for. Because there are a lot of hotel scams out there where if you're booking online, you think you're on the hotel and they design their site or their link to make it look like it's the hotel's site.
Wow.
That's something that you have to be very careful about, to make sure that you're actually booking with the hotel.
Well, that's tricky.
One of the things that you can do, when you put your mouse over a link, look to see where that link is actually going. So if it's a hotel's website, make sure it says in the
that
URL
hotel.
That it is that hotel. Don't just go by what's on the screen in front of you. Look at the URL. And if you're not sure, come out of that website and then go to the hotel's website. Look for official website. Look for the name of the hotel in there and not just something that's selling the hotel.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you're on an online travel agency and you know that you're on that website.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever website you're looking up, just look for the name in that URL. Yeah, and most times they will have a secure site as well. They're also looking for what they have, what they're calling the seat egress in air travel. And this is an act that was introduced by Representative Steve Cohen. And this is doing something that air travelers have wanted for a very, very long time. It's going to set a minimum dimension for passenger seats on planes. Yeah, I talked about that last week. Well, the current minimum is anywhere from 16 and a half to 18 inches.
I was going to say, I hope it's not smaller than what it is.
No. It's not smaller than what it is, but it's saying that they want to set a standard so that airlines cannot reconfigure aircraft to get more seats and therefore shrinking the width of the seat and therefore making you much more uncomfortable, especially as we Americans are growing. Yeah, we talked about that last week, but that's along with some other acts that they are looking at. So when we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not you're popping your ears all wrong or right, maybe so. I'm Javon Harley for The Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Hi, this is Javon Harley, your travel pro and the host of The Traveling Eye, with a countdown to Ghana. Ghana is a great place to start in Africa, known as Africa for Beginners. Ghana is a great destination for getting acquainted with this diverse continent. And here are several reasons why. Ghana has friendly people, traditional Ghanaian hospitality, culture, history, sea, sun, and sand. But the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me, The Traveling Eye, and Advantage International to Ghana to see it all firsthand. So block off September and stay tuned for the complete package with all the details coming soon.